This is slightly early. Do you want me to wait another couple minutes?
No, you should give us sponsors for being here on time.
Well, we're all early, aren't we? Well, I'm happy to wait a couple minutes. What do you think? Hands up, who wants to go?
Okay, let's go.
Good afternoon. As you'd be aware, the Prime Minister is off in New York in UN Leaders Week. And for that reason, I chaired Cabinet today. Public announcements from today's Cabinet discussion were made in due course by relevant ministers very soon. In the week ahead, there will be question time on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to attend. In the House, we're expecting the Electoral Integrity Amendment Bill to pass through all of its future readings, pass the Remuneration Authority Amendment Bill, which creates a pay freeze for MPs for the next year. On Friday, I'll be at the New Zealand Harness Racing Annual Conference, and on the weekend at the New Zealand First 25th celebration of the formation of a political party. Any questions?
Will the government be compensating meth cooks?
It's not a matter of compensating meth cooks, which is a kind of cheapskate allegation for political irresponsibility in the former administration's handling of this matter. You're not compensating some family who were malignly treated, who were innocent, in case after case after case. If there is proof of criminality, of course they won't get compensation, and I'm ashamed that someone who's got a legal background, or supposedly got one, is making that allegation.
The Greens say Simon Bridges isn't fit for leadership for making such comments like that about former state home.
What do you think? What do you think? All I know is that someone who can't get one out of four of his party supporters to believe he should be the leader is in serious trouble.
The UN's document calling for other countries to sign against the war on drugs. Why is New Zealand too much interested in signing that?
Well, I think the Prime Minister has already made New Zealand's view very clear. But by way of reminiscence, I can recall another president of the United States launching a war on drugs, and the result at the end of it was a dramatic rise in drug costs, drug criminality. That man was President Reagan.
Is it significant, though, that we're not prepared to bow to the U.S. when you're asking for this?
Well, you've always known that this country has an independent foreign policy, and we have always been open, whether it's economic or social policy, on, in the end, what's best, not just for New Zealand, but our international values on which we as a country survive. And a small country in particular needs that. But, you know, a populist war on drugs has got to have the fundamentals and principles right for it to possibly work.
Given our independence, will we be sending to the government of Iran a message of condolence and condemnation of the terrorist attack on the weekend?
Look, I don't know. I haven't been apprised. I know it happened, and I know what the saying to the culprits are. As to the facts, we don't know that at this point in time. Maybe we will. We know more. Maybe we won't. I don't want to say what the answer
is. So what's the criteria? Because I would have thought terrorism being a global...
The first criteria is to know what the facts are.
Well, in previous occasions, we have been very forthright and immediate in our condemnation. Can we expect a decision by the end of the week? Or?
Well, you could say that, but it's been my observation that in the deepest parts of Africa and other parts of the world where people have been dying in their tens of thousands, this country hasn't been the first out of the blocks with denunciations of deep consolation. That's not been the fact at all.
So
now, I can give you a lot of examples of that, but if you talk about this, the inquiries from affairs as to what's been done.
Just for the record, we don't share the American response voiced by their ambassador to the United Nations that Iran should look in the mirror then, and this was a self-inflicted attack.
Well, there is an opinion yet to be verified that it comes from within Iran itself. No, we know that logistically that it happened. As to its genesis, we don't know the answer.
What's the situation with the Pacific Alliance talks this week? Have all of the anticipated parties turned up? And are you? What are your expectations for talks achieving this week?
Well, I'm not part of them personally. They're happening elsewhere, and that context is not in Parliament, and so I can't answer your question.
Have you been given an update on the strawberry situation?
Yeah, look, as best as we can with our Australian friends as well. This is a very difficult issue because the more we hype it up, the more mimicry or copycat behaviour might be triggered off. So it's a very difficult issue to handle, and I talked to Damon O'Connor last night on it. We're doing the best we can with all the resources we've got. There's going to be, in terms of exporting into this country, screening of every strawberry plant. But this is all I can answer at this point in time. We haven't got the answer as to the source of it.
Do you think Calgar should have done more when it was importing strawberries from Australia to check some of those checks and balances to see if there weren't needles in there?
So?
Do you think Calgar, the supermarket, should have been doing more when it came to checking the strawberries?
Well, we'll find that out. I mean, one supermarket stopped, the other supermarket didn't.
Sorry, who will be conducting the screenings coming to the country?
Well, the other authorities will be conducting the screenings. Countdown themselves will be as well. There'll be no more strawberries coming to this country without their full screen in the future.
What does the screening look like?
Well, it looks like somebody tackled or detecting metal in it.
So they'll be going through a metal detector or something like that?
Well, I can't tell you what the science and technology is, but I know that's what we're working on.
Dry container ports have the technology to do that already.
Well, I don't know whether I can answer that question either, other than to say, if a strawberry should be going through that sort of rigorous investigation before it lands in on our shelves in our supermarkets.
Victoria University Council have voted to change their name, despite what you can see with this kind of a private decision, but they only make a recommendation to the Education Minister. Do you think he should respect the council's independence on this, or is it something that you made to make that decision?
Am I interested in an academic point of view about the name? Yes, I am. Am I going to compromise my friend and Minister of Education, Chris Hipkins? No, I'm not. Hipkins is on 1 month off, 1 month on dad leave, so to speak.
Do you have a personal view?
Yes, I do.
Can you share?
But I'm not going to compromise that view or compromise my colleague by stating what it is. Otherwise, you'll be saying Winston Peters is going rogue.
Now,
you're not going to get that chance again.
Do you think from the seat of dangerous precedent that the Education Minister does reject it when the Council's voted 9-2 in favour?
Well, look, that's a fascinating thing for a university for itself to have in terms of a democratic discussion. We've all got a view. We all know that we think the majority of alma mater will be on this issue. But I'm not going to give you a conclusion, but that lies with what I said with Mr. Hipkins.
Can we be expecting progress on the Crown Minerals Act amendments this week? And will the bill that will be required to be back in Parliament?
Well, I've looked at the program. We're not too certain about how complicated the program is this week or how long some of the legislation we'll see in terms of parliamentary arguments. Whether urgency is going to be required as well. Is it a possibility? I think it is, yes.
Who invited you to the celebration of Deputy Commissioner Wally Hongha last year?
Who asked that question?
Hi.
You?
Yes.
You asked that question. I was passing through Rotorua at the time, and I can't recall, excepting in the Maori world, that would be as common as anything to be told, look, there's a big thing down the so-called Marae. Your campaign, that's the best place to be.
You previously said it was the previous government who was...
Well, I just assumed that I'd been invited by somebody, because when I got there, members of the police and senior policemen were saying hello to me. I can remember Tamati Coffey sitting straight in front of me over there. I was put right at the front of the seat where the speakers were, probably by accident, and it arose from there. And if you've got any videos of that, some of you will be able to see that.
But you can't remember the specific person that invited you to that event?
No, I can't, because I've been to thousands of them in a 50-year career as a politician, as a lawyer, and as a student, and as someone in the Maori world.
What's your relationship with Mr. Horihara like?
With whom?
With Wally Homahara. Sorry.
Well, hang on. Hang on a bit of cultural sensitivity here. He has got a name.
What's your relationship with Sir Omar?
Well, my relationship is that I've known him for some time, but he seriously came to my respected attention when he was asked to sort out the Tuhoi raids fallout, which you remember there was a significant legal challenge by barristers and lawmen on the side of the Maori against what had happened, and he was put in an iron stand by the police. When I saw that, this guy must have some special qualities, which was true. You wouldn't put them in the middle of Tuhoi unless you had some chance of persuading the Tuhoi as to the integrity of his investigation.
There's a bit of a cloud hanging over harness racing at the moment. Is your presence at the conference on Friday really necessary?
Well, this was agreed before the cases broke. I'm not going to go back on it. This conference was coming up, certainly about, say, 10 days ago, a little less than that, as the cases became public. And I'm not going there for the cases, I'm going there to tell them that their suspicion that they're not part, or they haven't been considered as carefully as they could have been in the Massara review, is utterly wrong. That's why I put two people alongside Mr. Massara to ensure we did a comprehensive look at the dots and at the dogs as well.
What's your gut feeling on what the likely overall reaction to the Massara report is going to be, particularly to the flavour of the country courses and possible sale or disposal of the TAV?
Well, first of all, 5 decades ago, Justice Thaddeus McCarthy was doing a review saying a lot of this at that time. And what we've had is political sort of parochialism in an industry that is now dead on its feet. It faces 200 billion plus of future debt. You've got club after club, which is in serious trouble. The $120 million of reserves I left them when I was last minister are all gone. And now they're borrowing to pay prize money. The scene is one of disaster for what could be a great industry, a third bigger than it currently is. Competing with, for example, the equipment in Ireland, somewhat similar population, is 33.2 billion. We've been on something under 1.6 billion for now the last 10 years. So it's static, and it needs to be turned around. And what I think the reception is going to be, well, I expect significant parochialism, but it's up to them, as I said, it's over you. If you want to survive, you'll grab the best parts of this plan. If you don't, you won't play parochialism. I can tell you what the end product will be. You'll be a boutique industry, and the best of your industry and talent will have fled offshore, which they're doing as we speak.
How do you reconcile the possible closure of, what is it, 28 or however many courses, all of them in small provincial towns, or with New Zealand First program?
I don't think Avondale's a small provincial town.
No, but places like Dargaville are.
Yeah, but places like Dargaville, I'll give you an example of this. We've ensured, well, Massara has ensured, and it's his report after all, that there's a race course in every region. In fact, in Southland, two of them, Riverton and Invercargill. But when you look at Dargaville, and here's a classic case, personally, I put a lot of time into Dargaville, even bought the paint for it, that upgrade, myself personally. I got a whole gang of prisoners to pay to do all the work because the pony club's there. Got it all spruced up, go to the races, it's shut down after the first race. Because the fire in the track hadn't had a decent culvert put in. All apparent, all known for about probably 20 darn years. Now that's very frustrating. You got all this darn trouble. And so then they're down to one race a year. And now we've got the problem of trying to keep them alive. And when the whole climate has changed. So Dargaville can do something with its property, line up with Ruakaka, and have a far greater time of survival. And I look forward to the day when we have a passenger train on from Dargaville, not one, but two, going off the Ruakaka races.
What do you think of John Allen's performance running the industry?
Well, he's not the head of the board, he's the CEO.
What do you think of his performance?
I haven't given an opinion on his performance.
What did you think of the tax working group's suggestions of extending income tax to cover certain capital gains? In particular,
I've seen your comments on it.
and I suggest with respect, it's somewhat premature since we've all got to wait till February next year to find out what the fleshed out conclusions are.
You said
and other than others interpreting what I said against that report. How do you do that? I wouldn't know.
You said before the election that capital gains tax was off the table. Does that...
Was what?
Was off the table. Do you think that the suggestions from Sir Michael's report fit into that category of capital gains tax that you talked about before the election?
We have not seen the finality of Dr. Cullen's report. I mean, the finance minister has been a pain supporter. This is only the preliminary report. It's not the final. We'll all have to wait, he said, until February of 2019, and so will I.
What's the goal for the conference this weekend? Is it the first election campaign event for 2020?
Well, you could say that, or could be good. Young people like you along, so you might appreciate what we've done for 25 years, almost as long as you're alive, which is not easy to do as a political party. After all, if you look at political parties in this country, since 1893, we're the second longest surviving one without a name change in this country's history after Labour. That's not easy to do.
Who are the three guest speakers?
I'll send you the CV. I haven't got them on me at the moment.
What did you make of the email from Christopher Lutzen in the weekend to Air New Zealand customers saying, well, trying to explain why they've had such a rubbish year?
Well, the customers have.
No, why Air New Zealand has, with late flights and engineering problems and airports being too crowded and you name it, it was in there.
Well, I could probably just say this, that they've had the second best profit year this year in history. The same thing, yes, there have been delays and what have you. I suppose he, to be nice to him, was strategically trying to let them know that he understood and that they'll probably go on top of the problems.
Do you think that that's an interesting PR strategy to email out to customers saying we've sort of failed to deliver and these are the 50 reasons for?
Yeah, I know. Because I think people do understand when you tell them the fact, you give them the truth. But when you're told it's an engineering problem and you know that it's because of the tea break, then you get pretty brassed off. So the truth works for a company like Air New Zealand, and the more they do it, the better. One more question, perhaps.
Do you think Air New Zealand has pursued profitability at the expense of some of its service levels or its ability to service regional areas?
Well, I don't think they deny that. And I don't think they are to blame solely for that. There's not a clear understanding in this country that for an airline to work, it has to have sometimes non-profitable lines. And in the United States, they understand that implicitly by ensuring that a lot of provincial airports are federally funded. So clear they are on the need to have, in terms of good commerce, the availability of tourists, of aircraft to travel.
How important is it for you to have party hopping bill passed before your conference?
Well, it's not important to have it passed before the conference.
And how important is it?
That's just a pure coincidence. It could have been passed 5-7 weeks ago, but because of circumstances, it wasn't. Yeah. But there is no connection with this at all.
Can I just ask one question about tax? The interim working group.
It's the last question.
The interim working group report said that the tax system is fundamentally unfair. This won't change between this report and February. It suggested that taxing income from capital gains will redress that unfairness. Do you agree that the current tax system is unfair? And would you agree that taxing income from capital gains would make it fairer?
Well, I think it's better to say that I, like so many people in this country, know that our taxation system is far from perfect. I'm prepared, though, wait till February to find out whether there are improvements or way of suggestions and fix it up. And anyone who writes what I think in the meantime doesn't know me. Thank you very much.
I think it's a very concrete recommendation that any kind of capital gains would make it fairer with some words.
You get able assistance.